Money, 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 money. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of Near Fall Radio here on the Butt Munch Chips Radio Network, question mark? More on that later. I am your host, Landon Doan, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, my tag team partner, if you will Rab. Rab, how are you doing this evening?
I'm fantastic. We just got done watching Money in the Bank.
Yes, we did. We are recording this on the 14th of July, 2013, the year of our Lord, Macho Man Randy Savage.
Ooh, yeah.
This is not an episode of Near Fall Radio. Well, not a normal episode of Near Fall Radio.
It's an episode of Near Fall Radio. It's just not our normal deal.
Exactly. We're doing what are we calling it? A rapid reaction, because we like alliteration. We hear that ladies love alliteration, as a matter of fact.
I thought they loved Cool J.
Well, they do love Cool James as well, but we're not here to talk about Cool James. We're here to talk about Money in the Bank, which, of course, kicked off with the pre-show. It was the WWE Tag Team Champions, The Shield, and Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins taking on Jimmy and Jey Uso, also known as The Usos. The Shield with a successful defense against The Usos. Pretty quick work. Nothing really stood out of this matchup. I will say The Usos put on a pretty decent show of offense. Rab, thoughts on this match?
Well, I thought it was exactly what we expected to see when we previewed the show last week, is the Shield would get the win, but the Usos would come out and give them a good match because they're trying to get the Usos over. But there's really no reason to take the strap off the Shield. The Usos could have a strong performance without necessarily having to win. They did that because they had a couple near falls. No pun intended there.
Hey now.
But at the end of the day, the Shield was able to use their chaos theory to get the win, and still believe in the Shield.
Yes, the Shield is on a roll. And speaking of the Shield, they are, I guess, for a lack of a better term, leader. United States champion Dean Ambrose was in the World Heavyweight Championship Money in the Bank ladder match, and of course that also featured Fandango, Jack Swagger, Antonio Cesaro, Wade Barrett, Cody Rhodes, and your winner and my wild card, the intellectual savior of the masses, Damian Sandow, picks up the victory here, Rab.
Yeah, really thought a great way to open the card. Why not just open it up right out of the bang with your ladder match? And gotta say, the future stars put on a pretty good show.
Absolutely.
And like you said, I mean, I didn't discount Damian Sandow. I just didn't have him on my top line because, and I guess we can get into this since he did win, there are some things that, while I'm not against it, they're going to have to work on his character a little bit before they really give him that push with the briefcase to where he's a believable main event guy who can challenge for a championship. But I think it's a fantastic move.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I'm a Damian Sandow fan. If you listen to this podcast, you're pretty well aware of that, but I also agree with you. There are stuff that Damian Sandow will have to work on to be a believable main event character. I mean, his character on the mic is there. His in-ring work is where I get my question marks.
As we were talking about this, you brought this point up because we were talking about it as we were watching the All-Star ladder match and the possibilities with who could possibly win, and that we were both excited about who the WWE was potentially setting up to be their Money in the Bank guys, and some guys who are gonna rise to the next level. And I think Sandow can get there because I don't think that the WWE creative team is dumb enough, although they do some dumb things from time to time, to put the Money in the Bank on a guy who's not worthy of it. I'm not saying, I mean, the only guy who's not cashed in successfully is Cena, and I'm not saying that.
Oh, Cena isn't worthy of the Money in the Bank.
I'm not saying that it's guaranteed that Sandow's going to fail. That's not what I'm saying, or that I'm guaranteeing he's going to win, or whatever. But they had to see something in him, and I think it was a perfect finish.
Yeah, that was awesome finish.
He screwed Cody Rhodes, and that sets up a feud for him.
Immediate feud out of the gate.
Immediate feud right out of the gate. That's what he needs. That breaks apart. He can start working as a singles guy, and we can see more of him as a singles guy because he's been a tag guy.
Yeah.
With Cody, and that's worked out great, but Cody's been the workhorse in the team. And that happens a lot in tag teams is one guy kind of carries the load. But I do think there's the potential there for Sandow to at least get the opportunity to develop his singles career.
Well, you bring up the analogy in the tag team. There's always one guy that carries the load. Of course, everybody thinks the Rockers analogy, Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty. But I wouldn't be surprised in this case if Cody himself gets elevated as well, because I think Cody Rhodes has it in him to be a very good fired-up babyface, kind of like his daddy, Dusty Rhodes, if you will.
I think...
I mean, he showed that fire tonight. I mean, there towards the end, going into the finish of the Money in the Bank ladder match, Dusty, Cody cleared the ring of everybody. I mean, and he had the crowd eating out of the palm of his hands. So I don't think it would be out of the realm of possibility for Cody to go babyface and we see these two go after each other.
And, you know, JBL kind of alluded to it. He talked about, you know, when the bit that Dusty's gimmick was when he was in the WWE and he was the plumber and the common man as Cody was climbing the ladder. I could totally see that.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you got to rehash the American dream. No. Like, but I could see Cody, because Damian Sandow's a fantastic heel, so you're not going to have two guys healing each other.
Oh, absolutely not. And we were talking about how we have questions of Sandow in the ring. Well, you put him in the ring with somebody like Cody Rhodes, somebody who can cover up his shortcomings in the ring. I think you have a feud that is good to go for the next couple of months.
I think he is a kind of a long-term project, so to speak. Again, I don't think the WWE would give him this opportunity if they didn't think that he could handle it as a singles wrestler, because obviously they've seen him wrestle thousands of singles matches. We just haven't seen it a lot in the capacity that he's been in. But maybe they work that into the storyline.
Over under 6 months and 1 day of Damian Sandow with the Money in the Bank briefcase.
Being that spoiler alert, well, not really spoiler alert. You know what happened if you're listening to this podcast. That Randy Orton won the other Money in the Bank.
He did.
Yeah,
what?
I don't think there's a. I don't think you have to rush Damian
shocked.
Sandow. So I'm gonna take over.
Okay.
But I don't think that's a bad thing. I think it worked well with Dolph Ziggler,
mm-hmm.
and the fans already like Dolph. A section of the fan base are really ready like Dolph anyway. But him having that and building himself as Mr. Money in the Bank, you know, we've seen that. You know, a guy who we saw make his comeback to the WWE tonight, Mr. or RVD was Mr. Pay-Per-View, and then he was Mr. TV, and then he was Mr. Monday Night because all his matches were 5-star, and they find something to latch on to. I think that would be perfect for Damian Sandow to kind of take him to that next level, as he can build himself as Mr. Money in the Bank, kind of like young guys used to could build themselves as King of the Ring.
Well, and you even mentioned Mr. Money in the Bank. There were several people who won the Money in the Bank contract, and for the longest time, they would refer to themselves as Mr. Money in the Bank. And that was their identity.
And that's not a bad thing for him to latch on to.
No, not at all.
I think that's what they're going to do. I don't think there's any reason to rush with him.
I completely agree
with
you.
I mean, we can get a couple months down the road, and maybe the feuds aren't all that great, or the storylines aren't going over how they wanted to, and you got to kind of call it audible. But I don't see any reason to rush that. I think you can have a good feud for a couple months with him and Cody Rhodes, and you can really elevate both of those guys. And have Cody kind of help Damian bring his game up, especially.
Coming out of that World Heavyweight Championship Money in the Bank ladder match, it was the Intercontinental Champion, Curtis Axel, taking on Cleveland's favorite son, The Miz. It was a successful defense for the Intercontinental Champion, Curtis Axel, making quick-ish work of The Miz, about 7-8 minute match. Highlight of the match was probably when Paul Heyman got thrown out. Rab, anything you want to add to this?
Unfortunately, from this match, kind of until we got to our main event, unfortunately, Money in the Bank kind of went downhill.
Mm-hmm.
And I could kind of see this coming, because as we looked at the card last week, aside from, I mean, there were seven matches, and we devoted time to each ladder match and each world title match, and then we kind of quickly breezed through the other ones.
Yeah, touched on the other,
touched
other
on the
three,
other ones.
Yeah.
Well, the pre-show match too. So there were eight matches total in Philly tonight. But I wasn't expecting much out of this match, and you're just not familiar enough with the Curtis Axel character, even though, yes, he was Michael McGillicuddy.
And did you know that he was Mr. Perfect's son?
Yeah. You're just, and I'm not anti-Curtis Axel. I think, obviously, the WWE sees something in him because they brought him back. And they gave him this new persona, and they're working very hard to get him over. So there's, I'm not against new young talent coming in. You know, he's got the look. I don't know if he has the mic skills quite yet. He looks funny. The promo card they had of him and the Miz looked more heel than him. he looks like he just got a happy ending. But you just haven't seen enough of him and his matches to really know what he can do yet. To kind of know what to expect, because you kind of got to know what a guy does to know if you think the match is good. You get what I'm getting at?
Yeah, I totally get what you're saying. Yeah. Well, and you mentioned about how we really don't know a lot of Curtis Axel on the Curtis Axel character to know when his offense is particularly well. Well, the only thing we really know about him is he's Mr. Perfect Son and he does the perfect plex. Well, The Miz kicked out of that. That was the one move that that everybody knows that Curtis Axel does that they've been trying to get over. And they have the Miz kick out of it. Talk about how the WWE is being invested in Curtis Axel. And we'll actually see more of that later in the card to see just how much the WWE wants to put in to Curtis Axel. Really not much more to say about this match. It is what it is, as the Macho Man Randy Savage once said.
It's, look, not disparaging Curtis Axel. He's a young guy, but when you're building up to that main event level on a pay-per-view, your filler. And that's what this match was. He's the IC champ, and as he rises, hopefully the IC title rises back. I think that's a great thing to kind of build around his gimmick, that, you know, he's like the perfect champion, and he has this title, and they're not going to really acknowledge that it went away, but they're kind of rising its profile by putting on him and trying to get him way over, I think. So
yeah, trying to kill two birds at once.
Yeah,
I think hopefully
they continue that, and hopefully that goes somewhere. I hope good things for him, but, you know, there's nothing special about this match.
No. Moving on, the next match was for the WWE Divas Championship. It was champion AJ Lee defending against Caitlyn, and it was another successful defense for the champion. Champion went 3-for-3 so far on the night. AJ Lee with a widow hold of some sort to get the submission on Caitlyn. Caitlyn with some pretty powerful offense throughout the matchup, but eventually just wasn't able to overcome AJ.
And I really hope that they find a way to keep this feud going. Is this the second time? No, this is the second time that they've had a match because AJ beat Caitlyn for the title. And this is the rematch, or
I know this is the second pay per view in a row they've had a match on.
So they've had a couple matches, but hopefully they can find a way to kind of keep the momentum that these two have created for the Divas division. And obviously, it ties into the Total Divas show that's coming. But I'm glad that they're putting some effort into the other titles, and that includes the Divas, because.
Yeah.
What's the point of having a division if they're going to be a freaking joke? Let's cut to the chase.
Exactly. You could be like TNA, who quietly retired the TV titles and the
knockout
tag
titles
that were last held by ODB and a male Eric Young.
Showtime Eric Young, yeah. Baby. There's your weekly shout-out.
Yeah. Star of, Off the Hook?
Yeah. We actually interviewed him once. He's a really good guy, so that's kind of unfortunate.
I love EY.
Yeah, I love me some EY. But hopefully they can keep the momentum going for the Divas, because these two work really well together.
They really do.
And they've had some... look, they're not world title level matches, but they're working some good spots in there, and they're doing some good wrestling.
And a really fun aspect I really like about their feud, Biggie Langston lurking on the outside. And if you've been watching on SmackDown last Friday, you saw Caitlyn just palm frickin' Big E in the face. Just what did the five fingers say to the face? Slap. I
think this feud between the two could continue. I don't think just because they've already had a couple matches that it's necessarily done. But regardless, I hope they keep the Divas division on the upswing. And, you know, not a bad match, but kind of what you expect from the Divas. So.
And speaking of not a bad match, but what you would expect, we have Ryback versus Chris Jericho, and the Ryback beat the Chris Jericho. Rab, I will give you $5 if you can give me anything that happened in that match, because I cannot remember a single damn thing of that match.
Ryback hit Jericho with a meat hook at some point, and then at some other point, Ryback stood over Jericho and said, "Finish this," and I responded, "Please do." And Ryback won.
Okay.
So I could tell you, but
all right,
we realized because we were going through the card as we're watching, because we'll make predictions, and we want to see how we're doing, and we realized that we pretty much picked everything right, and then we realized we cared so little about this match, we didn't make a prediction. So do we really need to say much more?
We really don't. I mean, during the match itself, I even tweeted, "You remember when Ryback was a relevant thing?" I mean, this is like Derek Dooley's last season at Tennessee all over again. Mid-season, of volunteer fans are saying, "Man, doesn't that game in the Georgia Dome, that Chick-fil-A kickoff game, feel like a lifetime ago? Doesn't WrestleMania feel like a lifetime ago for Ryback?" Because, I mean, at WrestleMania, he was... I myself predicted that was going to be the start of them putting a rocket on his ass to get him ready for next year's WrestleMania. And since then, what has Ryback been doing? He hurt his leg and he cried on Vicky Guerrero.
Yeah, but we both agreed that after Payback, we kind of felt that they were going to cool off the Ryback Cena feud. So I don't know exactly what they were supposed to do with Ryback.
Well, I'm not even talking about continuing Ryback Cena, because I don't think anybody wanted to see any more of that. I'm just saying Ryback hasn't really done anything.
You see, like, that just happened. I don't know. I hate to say it, they don't know what to do with him, but I think maybe they're working on something, and this was just a filler, because they want to keep him. They don't want him to completely disappear.
Filler. That word keeps coming up. Moving on. Yeah, there's nothing else to say about.
What's the theme of the night?
Yeah.
I'll give you $50.
Actually, don't do that, because I don't think Butt Munch Chips has $50 in the account to pay that contest. Speaking of someone who could pay for that contest, we have World Heavyweight Champion Alberto Del Rio defending his strap against Dolph Ziggler. And Rab, how did I say this was going to end? How did...
I have to give Landon Supreme credit on a couple things. First off...
I'm a genius. I'm a genius.
I'm about to support that. If you go back and you check the tapes, and we encourage you to go back and listen to other episodes of Near Fall Radio.
And if I was a good producer right here, I would cut in me saying that, but since I'm not a good producer, that ain't going to happen.
Since we're living on a prayer... but we were talking about guys to watch in the World Heavyweight ladder match, and you picked Damian Sandow as one of your wild cards, and he comes through on the night. And then you also you predicted that AJ Lee would have something to do with the finish of the World Heavyweight Championship, that she would cost Ziggler, and it'd be the end of Ziggler's and Fun Time, and... Well, I think it's damn well close to the end. If this is not the end of Ziggler's and Fun Time.
It's getting pretty close to it. I do have to say, I thought AJ would have gone about it in a little bit more subtle manner. I didn't think she would jump into the ring in plain view of the referee and clobber Alberto Del Rio with the Divas title while Ziggler was trying to hit a zigzag. That said, it is what it is. Ziggler had some really fun offense. He plays a really good fired up babyface. I will give him that. I'm a little worried about how creative is going to ride him as a babyface, but it's like in ring, I have no worries about Ziggler.
I just have the feeling, and I think we'll talk about this more once we see if they're going with the storylines, but I just have to feel that if here in the next couple weeks that they don't get a reaction from the crowd, from Alberto Del Rio. I mean, the fake Bobby Heenan Twitter account put it perfectly on Friday night. The WWE app is more over than Berto. They're going to have to do something.
Yeah.
And Damian Sandow's not the guy to do that with. So
Not right now, at least.
So, good God. Can you imagine that's sort of one of the co-main events of SummerSlam is going to be Ziggler versus Berto again? I think we might see a World Heavyweight Championship title change on free TV just to get rid of freaking Berto.
Yeah, I do think WWE is going to have to do something with Del Rio. The crowd in Philadelphia was really into what they were into tonight. They were not into Alberto Del Rio. They were not buying what
but
he was selling at all.
Nobody's into Alberto Del Rio. It's not just us as over-observant wrestling fans, because I don't want to call us smarks because we're not smarks.
I like over-observant. That sounds fancy.
Okay, but yep, I thought the face thing coming for Ziggler, because I mean, he's getting that reaction. He's getting over with that right now, and obviously, I mean, he's got Berto, who's a dead fish. That's kind of why you got to have AJ to play his heel for him. But that'll be interesting to see how this plays out, and hopefully it works out better than when they turned Randy Orton face.
Yeah, that would not end well for Ziggler. I kind of think they might move Ziggler off to go feud with AJ and Big E for a little while and let him and Berto kind of cool off for a second.
That's completely plausible. There's no
To further getting Ziggler over as a face.
Yeah, because Ziggler lost at Payback.
Yeah, he lost the strap at Payback.
This was his rematch, so he's not really due another match.
Exactly.
It's not continuality-wise, and I know that...
Because wrestling rules are real.
And I know, but I'm just saying, like, I'm a big continuality person in that you keep some of the sporting element real, that if a guy lost, that a champ does get a rematch, and that just seems natural because people want to see that. And that's just a natural storyline progression. So you can kind of burn it off for now. I don't know necessarily who Alberto Del Rio feuds with. But
who would Berto feud with? Heath Slater, 3MB, baby.
One of Zeb's clients.
Go heel on heel? I don't think so. Yeah. Well, I mean, We might have to do some more Ziggler, but that's for another episode of
indeed.
Near Fall Radio, because next up we have WWE Champion John Cena defending his championship against Mark Henry, and once again, the champion wins on the night. The champions win a grand total of 5 for 5, including the pre-show tonight at Money in the Bank. John Cena defeats Mark Henry. Rab, thoughts on your co-main event?
Well, I think you can sum it up better than I can, and not to get too graphic, but you wouldn't go use the bathroom during a world championship match.
Yeah, I felt comfortable enough to get up, walk out of the room, and go use the bathroom, and I'm not talking about number one, ladies and gentlemen.
The Browns to the Super Bowl.
I'm talking about a poop. I took
yes.
a poop. I felt comfortable enough. I'm not going to miss anything that exciting. Or John Cena's going to hit his 5 moves of doom. He's going to try and hit an AA. It'll get countered. He'll try and hit an AA again. It might get countered again. Mark Henry's going to hit a World's Strongest Slam. John Cena's going to kick out. John Cena is going to hit an AA, then put on the laziest submission in all of professional wrestling. Rab, how far off was I?
Dead on. A guy would hit his finisher, and there'd be a kick out, and then Henry would counter to Cena, and Cena would kick out and kick out and kick out and battle back. Classic John Cena. And I'm not trying to give the IWC ammunition, but damn, that's a horrible submission.
And that's the thing. It's like, I've seen John Cena, like, when he wants to really put it on, and it looks...
It's gotten lazy, like, in the last 6 months.
It is so... I mean, I first started really noticing it at WrestleMania when he, like, literally just looked like a blanket and laid on The Rock. He just draped himself over The Rock's back, and it's like, okay, this is a submission. You got
to
sell it.
We really got to get to the bottom of that.
Yeah.
One of these days. I don't know why, but it just bugs me. But yeah, nothing special about
John
that
Cena.
Match.
You're better than that. Come on, dude.
Cena retained, and of course, since the All Star Ladder match did not precede the WWE Championship match, we did not have cash in tonight at Money in the Bank, which I put it like 75%.
Yeah, I was gonna say, how's that 75% tasting, buddy?
Well, it's all about the order of the matches, and it just
I heard
very
it was all
logical.
About the game and how you play it.
It is. But got to give you credit, although I think we both did very well actually predicting how we thought the matches would go.
Yeah, let's not get too happy congratulating ourselves, because this wasn't the hardest card
no,
to pick.
No. Yeah, because there are really only two good matches.
Yeah.
And speaking of which, our final match on the night was one of them.
Yes, it was our other co-main event. It was for the WWE Championship Money in the Bank contract. It featured Best in the World, CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, Sheamus, Christian, the returning whole effing show, Rob Van Dam, and your winner, my 1A, the Viper, Randy Orton. Rab.
Can I say something that I think you'll second and agree with that made you happy as well?
Sure. Well, especially if it's going to make me happy.
Vignette light night. So, therefore, we did not have to hear CM Punk talk about how he's the best in the world. And I think after you, if you've seen this match, I think you know why that didn't matter.
Yeah, because...
Do we just want to go to that, or we want to break down the Viper's win, or just...
Let's go ahead and jump towards the end, because that's when all the exciting stuff happens. We can touch on anything we want to.
I mean, it was. I thought it was a good book match from start to finish. You know, I thought it was really a good little nice little rib on RVD.
Yeah, like that was fun.
Or stand there just looking at him, and then he tries to do the RVD chant. They just start beating him. And
yeah, he gets to R, and then the other five guys just beat the bejesus out of him.
We didn't have a surprise fill in for Kane, and that was fine because that match didn't need it.
Yeah, I mean, you already had six, well, for lack of a better term, all stars in that match. So I mean, you were fine on that aspect.
And good spots throughout. You had some. I mean, because you had guys that are already kind of high flyers.
Yeah, well, a couple of them.
And guys who know how just good workers and worked it well. And I guess the action really kind of kicked off with the anytime Daniel Bryan goes on a roll for now, I'm just going to call the Daniel Bryan hot tag.
Yeah.
Daniel Bryan tagged himself in with his ladder, and he just cleaned house.
Yeah, Daniel Bryan, for the last few months, he's been making a habit of just coming in like a ball of fire and burning the place down, and tonight was no different. He came very close to winning it, as a matter of fact.
Which really kind of ramps the anticipation, because you get the vibe, okay, now it's time to go home, and he kind of launches that.
You're talking about how the Daniel Bryan hot tag, quote-unquote, generally signifies the go-home, and tonight was no different, because about that time, after Daniel Bryan clears the ring of everybody, he starts to go up the ladder when, of all people, Curtis Axel comes out and jumps Daniel Bryan.
That's right, Curtis Axel jumped it.
Yeah, and
I just watched this 10 minutes ago. You think I know what the hell is going on?
Well, and I actually said to you, I'm like, wait, who is that? Oh, that's Curtis Axel, because I did not see that coming at all. And
no. And
Paul Heyman, before Paul Heyman comes out, spoiler, Paul Heyman comes out. Daniel Bryan gets laid out by Curtis Axel at ringside. Curtis Axel is walking towards the back. He walks past CM Punk, who proceeds to jump up, hits a GTS on him, and crawls back in the ring. Paul Heyman comes out, starts screaming at Curtis Axel, "What are you doing?
That's my best friend.
That's the guy that I wanted to win."
I'm pretty sure that Damian Sandow and Paul Heyman are actually the same person. Because guess what? CM Punk is Paul Heyman's best friend, and he wanted him to win.
Yep, and much like the first ladder match tonight, it was not a good day to have a best friend in the ladder match, because Paul Heyman got in the ring and smacked CM Punk with the ladder multiple times. which I think pretty much signifies the beginning, the official beginning of Punk versus Lesnar slash Heyman, dot, 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 and oh yeah, Curtis Axel.
That's going to be interesting what they do with that, but that's another show.
Yep.
I'm really glad that's coming because I think that's going to be a great way to kind of get Punk out of this rut, and I think that's going to be a really good match, and that's something that everybody thought was inevitable, so I'm excited for that. And then it led, I don't know if it led to a great finish, but it led to a good opportunity, and I thought a good person to put the money in the bank on in Randy Orton.
Well, Randy Orton and RVD pretty much squared off at the end on dueling ladders, for lack of a better term. Randy Orton getting the best of RVD. He was actually pretty smart in it when he got to the top of the ladder. You know how everybody just generally grabs the briefcase without looking? Randy actually stopped, looked around everywhere, and made sure he was by himself so he could take his time. Pretty smart, and yeah, you mentioned, I think it is a good person to put the Money in the Bank briefcase on, because we mentioned last show, it's pretty cool. It would be pretty cool if the Viper literally could wait in the weeds to strike and get the title at the drop of a hat.
And it's a guy that if you put, it's a guy you know can be a main eventer.
Oh, absolutely,
yeah. He maybe hasn't always been managed properly, but he's main event caliber, so I thought it was a good move. I am a little disappointed because I was kind of excited to see Daniel Bryan, but maybe we'll get that Daniel Bryan World Championship program a little down the road. I think they got a good thing going on with Cena and Henry, and after that burns off, then maybe it's Daniel Bryan's time, or maybe it's Daniel Bryan's time at the Royal Rumble 6 months from now.
I can't predict when Daniel Bryan's going to have his time, but I think it's a pretty safe bet to say that Daniel Bryan is going to get a shot to run with the strap.
Well, he's the most over guy in the. I'm sorry, he's more. John Cena's your moneymaker. Daniel Bryan's the most over guy in the company.
I do hope that that the WWE doesn't hold off on pulling the trigger after Daniel Bryan isn't as molten as he is right now. That would be a shame.
I agree. That's why I'm kind of disappointed that Orton is the Money in the Bank guy. But I feel like it'll work out for the company. It may not work out for Daniel Bryan. But overall, as we kept saying filler a lot. So I guess we've run through the card. Let's kind of put a wrap overall on our thoughts on Money in the Bank.
You say filler, and I think that would be my word if I had to pick one as well. It was a filler pay-per-view after a couple months of pretty good pay-per-views since Mania. I mean, you had Payback, you had Extreme Rules, and those were both pretty good, fun pay-per-views. It was just law of averages. It eventually, we had to get a not awesome pay-per-view.
Well, there's only so many good storylines I think you can do.
Exactly.
There's only so many you can drum up quickly that are going to take off, and they're either going to take off or they're not, but maybe you're already invested in it and you got 3 weeks of pay-per-view, so what can you do? I think the WWE set a high standard for themselves since WrestleMania. I mean, Raw has been really strong.
Yeah, with the exception of the Raw 2 weeks ago, Raw for the most part since Mania has been spot on must-see TV, to borrow a term from NBC 90s programming.
It has been just absolutely spot on, and it creates expectation. And, you know, it's the law of averages. So I thought both of the ladder matches were good. Aside from the Heyman part and where that storyline is going, I did think that the World Heavyweight ladder match overall was a better match.
Yeah, I will agree. I thought the Future Stars ladder match was better than the, quote, All-Stars. Though I will say the All-Stars match was pretty good. It was one of the two best matches of the night.
So we going with like a C for this pay-per-view?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not grading Money in the Bank on the WrestleMania standard.
No. I would feel confident giving this a C.
But compared to where it's been this year, the last couple pay-per-views that have been solid and better than expected.
Yes.
And glad that we went and go watch them. I would give this one a C. So that wraps up Money in the Bank. And if you follow us on Twitter,
Twitter.com/nearfallradio.
Or Twitter.com/Landaws.
Or Twitter.com/TheWillRab with two B's.
We have alluded to some news.
Yes.
So I guess since we're wrapping up the show, I will turn it over to the Chief Butt Munch of Butt Munch Chips.
As of today, July 14th, 2013, the year of our Lord, Macho Man Randy Savage.
Ooh, yeah.
Near Fall Radio will now be appearing on The Farm Club. That is thefarmclub.net. Rab, for those of our listeners who are not as familiar with The Farm Club as you or I, why don't you tell them about The Farm Club?
Well, basically, it is a blogging site along the lines of a... Maybe that's the best comparison is Bleacher Report. Although this is more kind of grassroots,
not nearly as many slides.
No, and I don't really want to throw Bleacher Report on the bus because they have some good stuff on there. But
they do
kind of the same, like user submitted type stuff. A group of guys in Michigan who were communications type majors in school and sports guys, and they decided to start a blog. And at first it's more kind of what you expect from your average kind of fan blog of like opinion interaction stuff, and now they're kind of trying to build it into kind of a global sports network, kind of like Bleacher Report, and the idea being with the name that a la baseball has their farm system.
My Chicago Cubs, their farm system, AA, Tennessee Smokies.
You have your minor leagues and kind of help guys get a boost and maybe kind of get to the next level and have a place where they can get exposure for the writing. And that's how I got a start with them last fall.
I was blogging
kind of on my own about the SEC and sports in general, and they noticed one of my pieces and invited me to write, so I've been writing for them since the middle of the fall, actually middle of the football season, so October, November. Started writing for them and then doing SEC football and NASCAR and stuff. So Celeste suggested to Landon that he do some wrestling stuff.
And here we are,
yeah,
I guess.
And
I will also
editor,
be
Stefan Jagot was interested in the possibility of brought up to you podcasting, so, and we happen to have a show already, so it wasn't that convenient.
We do?
Yes.
Son of a...
That's what we're doing right now.
Oh my God, I thought we were making doilies. Is that something? Yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah, so taking the show to the next level. I mean, it's not a...
We're selling out.
It's not really. It's not an ESPN or anything, but it's a community of like-minded people who have an interest in sports and have an interest in kind of helping everybody grow their brand.
And in addition to episodes of Near Fall Radio appearing on the Farm Club, I will also be writing articles on WWE wrestling, so be sure to go to thefarmclub.net to check out my text thoughts on the latest happenings of the Sweet Science Professional Wrestling in the WWE. So big news here on the Butt Munch Chips Radio Network. We're selling out and moving on
to better things.
Mean,
if you still want to come to Butt Munch Chips, we'll still have content here. We're still going to keep putting the show up over here. Other side projects that we don't do for the Farm Club that we'll do here on Butt Munch, but at it is we're syndicating ourselves and picking up another affiliate. So there's more... We're expanding ourselves. We got more people interested in the show and interested in help building the Near Fall brand. So that can only be a win.
And yes, like Rab said, episodes of Near Fall Radio still will be posted on buttmunchchips.com. And there will be new content on Butt Munch Chips as well that has nothing to do with wrestling. So
there may be some sports content come the fall.
Yeah. So who knows? Things be a poppin' here at buttmunchchips.com. So for The Will Rab, you can follow him on Twitter.com/TheWillRab.
Yep.
Follow me on Twitter.com/Landoz, LANDOZ. Follow the both of us because together we are Near Fall Radio, Twitter.com/Near Fall Radio.
We tweet Raw And sometimes if I'm hanging out on a Friday, I'll give you some thoughts on SmackDown. We tweet all the pay-per-views, and hopefully this will be up as soon as possible. So if you're listening to this before Raw, check us out on Twitter tonight and talk about Raw with us.
Yes, that would be cool. So for the Will Rab, I am A. Landon Doan, thanking you for listening to an episode of Near Fall Radio here on the Butt Munch Chips Radio Network / the Farm Club. I have to really figure out how to get out of these podcasts now. Good night. The proceeding was a Butt Munch Chips production. For more information as well as older episodes, please visit us online at buttmunchchips.com. Butt Munch Chips, sit on your butt and munch. Yeah.